Let us turn to Proverbs chapter 15, and let us consider, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, verse 32. Proverbs 15, and at verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, and he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Well, there's a division here, and it has to do with people's reactions to the Word of God. There's instruction in the Word of God, and there are those who refuse the instruction, who turn away from it or push it away from them. And they are described as despising their own soul. They have their soul, and that's precious. And if they valued their souls, they would receive instruction. If they put the instruction away from them, then they are despising their souls. That's plain teaching of what we have here. And then on the other hand, he that heareth reproof, or listens to reproof, and listening to reproof is a case of obeying the reproof. He that heareth reproof gets understanding. It's a great matter to have an understanding of things, to have an understanding in particular of spiritual things. And before a communion season, it would be good for us to examine ourselves. May the Lord give us grace to do so in the light of his word, and to examine ourselves in particular in the light of the truths held out to us here. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And so let us consider three main points, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. And the first is about instruction and reproof. And then in the second place, that obedience to reproof brings understanding. But on the other hand, refusal of instruction is to despise one's soul. First then, something in general about instruction and reproof. Second, about obedience. Obedience to reproof. Now, I'm sure you could turn them round and speak of obedience to instruction, and on the other hand, refusing reproof and getting profit from that, if the Lord would be pleased to apply these things to us. But we'll just keep things as they are and put the emphasis on the one hand on instruction, and the emphasis on the other hand on reproof. So the second thing was, obedience to reproof brings understanding. If we take the reproof to heart, we will get understanding with the blessing of God. And on the other hand, refusal of instruction is to despise one's soul. If we refuse understanding, we are despising our souls. And we should take that particularly in view of eternity. Well, first of all, something about instruction and reproof. And we might ask, first of all, where will we get understanding? Where can we go to be taught? Where can we go to be put right, to have pointed out to us the wrong way to go, to go through life? Well, in spiritual things, we're to go to the Bible. What is the Bible? Well, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it's accurate. And it's profitable. It's profitable in the two ways that are before us in this verse. Though when Paul speaks about it in his second epistle to Timothy, he brings in 4 points. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for doctrine, that's for teaching, for reproof, for warning us against going wrong, for correction, for pointing out the right way, and for instruction in righteousness. How can we live a godly life? It's all there in the Bible. And we're to be reading the Bible. And to be asking God's blessing on what we read in the Bible. And we're to be listening to what is said on the basis of the Bible in church. And that's an ordinance of God, that the word would be proclaimed. That's why he sent out the disciples as the first generation of the Christian church. He told them, go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's it. There's 2 choices before us, basically. Will we believe and be saved? Will we continue in unbelief? Will we continue rejecting the word of God and be condemned to a lost eternity? That's the 2 basic alternatives. How is it with ourselves? We've got to think of ourselves and think of our own needs. Where are we going? We've got some distance along the pathway through life. Some here have only gone a little way. Others have gone much further. But where is the road going that we are on? Are we on the right way that will lead to everlasting life? Or are we on the wrong way that will lead to everlasting destruction? Now you see, if we're left to ourselves, we'll not take these things to heart. That's why we need instruction. And it's also why we need reproof, so that we would know what way we are going on. Now, just to take the basic instruction that there is in the Word of God, I'm sure there's any number of verses I could quote, but I'm going to quote this verse just now. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What way are we to go through life? And what are the consequences of the ways that we might go? What's fundamental about the life that we have been born into? Well, there's sin. There's a great deal of teaching about sin in the Word of God. We need to know something about sin. And the Lord has placed it there in Scripture so that we might say, I'm a sinner. It's true to say that we have all sinned, that we have come short of God's glory, but there's this, I am a sinner. And what's the significance of that? What does it matter that I'm a sinner? Well, sin has consequences. The wages of sin is death. And that's basically saying the consequences of sin, of going on in sin, is eternal death. Are we considering our lives and conscious that as we go on through this world, that unless we have repented, unless we have looked to Christ Jesus, unless we have found salvation, deliverance in Him, we're on the way to a lost eternity. Now we've been warned about these things. There's instruction, there's warning, and they're not 1,000 miles apart. One is more positive, the other is more negative. But, you see, the basic thing is that we might learn and that we might take warning about where we will end up according to what way we are taking through this world. But you see, there's instruction here. Instruction for those who are being warned about the consequences of an ungodly life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. God has made a gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do we value that gift? There's situations in life when people queue up and queue up for hours for something free. It doesn't matter that they might spend 12 boring hours or whatever it might be queuing up outside a shop waiting for the sales to start. They get something cheap. They might even get something free. Ah, here's a gift. It's not just for a limited time in this world. It's something that will follow us all through our existence in time and in eternity. The gift of God. Are there any queues? If we can put it like that. Are there any queues at the throne of grace pleading for this gift? Lord, I need salvation. Grant me that free gift which I so much need. Where are the sinners here who are going to the throne of grace and asking, Lord, there's a gift. Thou hast made that known. May I benefit from that gift? Would it not be good for us, all of us, to be asking for that today? That there would be that kind of unison among us. Realizing the danger of going on in sin. But that God has a free gift. Are you asking Him yourself for that free gift? Are you taking it seriously? That you need to be saved, you need to be forgiven, you need to be made holy. Otherwise, although you might die at any time. You cannot pass safely into eternity apart from receiving the free gift of God. Oh, that we were all coming to God for the sake of Christ and saying to him, I hear that there is a free gift and I have come to the throne of grace. I've come to pray that I might get that free gift for myself. I cannot earn it. Perhaps you would say, hey, I've spent so many days and years trying to earn it, and I've been unsuccessful, and I know I will always be unsuccessful. But I've been told, and it's there in the Bible, I've been told that the gift is, that it's absolutely a free gift. Yes. Or to spell it out somewhat further, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a faithful say. God is speaking the truth, and we're to believe it. You see, that's a great deal about this matter of salvation, that we would be receiving it as truth. Let me just remind you of what we're trying to consider last Sabbath morning about the Queen of Sheba. And she came to King Solomon. King Solomon is a picture of King Jesus. And she had a report far away. It would seem away at the south of the Arabian Peninsula. And she was so impressed with what she heard about Solomon that she took that great long journey to get to Jerusalem. And when she got there, when she had listened to the instruction that Solomon had to give, she was saying, it was a true report that I heard. Now that's it. What we need to be convinced of, that what I'm trying to point at, to point to, it's a true report, sinner. However far away you might feel from Christ, here is a true report. God himself has made it known in Scripture. Here is a true report. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. There's good news, isn't it? Good news for sinners. Good news for sinners on the way to eternal punishment. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, took our nature that he might save sinners from their sins. That's it. Oh, come then, sinner. There's instruction that you are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many a warning, many a reproof. For instance, what was said to the Jews through Jeremiah, be instructed. God speaking through Jeremiah, be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee. Receive instruction. Receive teaching, and it's true teaching. What's the use if you were to go to some course about some trade or other, some aspect of some trade, and you go to that course, and you come away saying, that was rubbish. That wasn't right at all. It's all wrong. And I'm saying that by way of contrast. Oh, come and hear about salvation. You've been doing that. And take in what is being said today about salvation. It's the truth. Because what I'm saying, I'm not giving myself as an authority. I can't do that. But if I'm trying to repeat what is said in the Word of God, it's the truth. It's a true report. The Bible is dependable from beginning to end. Whatever it's saying, whatever it's speaking about, and of course, the central things that the Bible speaks about are sin and salvation. It's a true report. Damn that sin. And let us agree on this. What's in the Bible is truth. And we're to be taking it in and asking the Lord to bless us. We'll make no good use of the Word of God and the teaching and the reproof that is there unless the Lord will bless it. So we're to be asking. We're to be going before God and asking Him to bless it to our souls. You're there sitting in your pew, and what are you doing with what you're hearing? Well, of course, there's this. You should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we take a step back a little, then you should be asking the Lord to bless what you are hearing. You've come from your home today to hear the Word of God. You are hearing the Word of God. But are you asking the Lord to bless it? You'll not make any good use of it unless the Lord will bless it to you. But the Lord is within earshot, will we say. The Lord's within earshot. Though you would just whisper quietly, or not even whisper, in your own soul, He can hear you. Is that not a wonderful thing? The Lord's so near in that way that He can hear a sinner like you. But oh, be sure that you're saying something into His ear. Speak into the ear of the Lord, who is able to hear you and do you good. Yes, you see, there's an urgency about all this. And that's obvious enough in the Word of God. Take what we've been considering in Hebrews chapter 3 at prayer meetings. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as what happened in the wilderness when the Israelites rebelled, when they were not receiving Him reproof, when they were not paying attention to instruction. They were unbelieving. But you see, in a time of danger, in a time when we might be swept off this world in a moment. And that's how it is. We might be swept off this world in a moment. But you see, the Lord is speaking. The Lord is saying, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not stiffen your soul, as it were, against what is being said. Do not harden your heart. Do not be resisting what the Lord is saying to you, whether it's by reproof or by way of instruction. Do not resist. We read the expression in Scripture about a stiff neck. And if somebody stiffens their neck, they're not going to move in the right direction. Or perhaps it's the idea is taken from an animal that one is trying to pull along, and it stiffens its neck in resistance. Whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is the danger of resisting. Yes, and if you are resisting, and if you're in danger of going on resisting, oh, cry out in your soul to the Lord that He would have mercy upon you and make you willing in the day of His power. That's what we need. God's power applied to our souls. And may the Lord grant that to us all. And that the people of God would be obedient to all his commandments, to his reproof, to his instruction. And may that be the case over the days of a communion season. And may we be praying for that, that the Lord would make us obedient, ready to receive instruction, and that the Lord would make us ready to receive reproof when we are warned about our needs. And we might go on with what is said in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left of entering into God's rest. That was Israel, the land of Canaan in the first instance, but there's also this, entering into the rest that remains for the people of God. Let us be afraid, lest a promise be left us of entering in, that is, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, any of us should come short. Not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be afraid of that. And not trust in ourselves, but let us trust in the one that raises the dead. What a great matter that is, that there's one who raises the spiritually dead. Of course, it would be a great matter when there's the resurrection at the end of the world. But what I'm pointing to just now, however weakly, is that spiritual resurrection. So that a spiritually dead sinner is made spiritually alive. And that's what we should be wanting. That if we're still spiritually dead, we would be made spiritually alive. And then we'll get to heaven. And all will be well throughout eternity. Oh, let us go before God in the name of Christ. Christ is the one who did all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. Let us go to him and plead for mercy. You see, when we're warned about hell, are we taking that seriously? That I'm on the way to hell unless I'm believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Plain truth. God-given truth from the God who knows everything, that we're on our way to a lost eternity and all the awfulness of that unless we are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And you see the Lord speaking through Zephaniah to Jerusalem as the center of the worship in Israel, in Judah. Woe to her that is filthy. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction and trusted not in the Lord. Now, would you think of these things as the warnings that were given to Israel, but they picture the warnings that come to us, the warnings that I've tried to set before you. And you see, if we do not trust in the Lord, and to use the revelation, the further revelation of the New Testament, who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what danger we are in. And there's the warning in Galatians. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, if he sows to the world, if he sows the things of the world, that's what he'll reap. He'll have no spiritual fruit to bring him into eternity. Yes. Oh, remember the word woe. And we should realize how often it is spoken in the Word of God that there's a woe pronounced on those who refuse the authority of God's Word and who refuse the salvation that is provided. But let us go on to consider more particularly what is said in the second part of our text. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The positive side of things. He that is obedient to the truth. Now let me just emphasize again, or try to anyway, that the Bible is truth. God's word is truth. What God says is truth. God is speaking. He's telling us about many a thing. But these central matters of sin and salvation and the consequences of them both. And if we will hear, if we will hear reproof, yes, we will get understanding. If we will hear reproof, we will get understanding. What's understanding or wisdom? You've got it in one of the first verses in the chapter. What it amounts to. Yes, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Wisdom is to make a good use of the knowledge that we have. Now, are we wise? We've got knowledge. I'm sure I can say that. Of everyone here, more or less. We've got knowledge. Knowledge of the Bible, in one degree or another. But the question is, are we wise about it? Are we using the knowledge aright? And the reproof that comes to us, what's the wise way of using that knowledge? It's to believe it. It's to trust in what is said about Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners. We are told, he that heareth reproof, he that takes it in, he that obeys it, the warnings about a lost eternity, the teachings about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners, he gets understanding. If he uses the knowledge in a right way, if he uses the knowledge in a right way, then he becomes wise. He becomes wise. That's what we have. And we should be asking for wisdom. Yes. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives understanding. And we should be in earnest about these things. Seeking salvation, seeking to be put in the right way, seeking to enter in at the straight gate, coming through Christ Jesus to set out for heaven. Ah, what a blessed thing it was for the woman of Samaria, say, when she set out from heaven, when Christ revealed himself to her as the Messiah. She started speaking about the Messiah. She had knowledge, but she hadn't been using it aright. And when Christ began to teach, and when he said, I that speak unto thee am he, I am the Messiah, she started to make a right use of the knowledge that she had. Oh, by grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of Christ. What a great matter that was. By the power of the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is still at work in this world, and how thankful we should be for that. Yes, and we are able, therefore, to make a right use of knowledge because the Holy Spirit is available. Now, I'm not saying that in our own strength, by our own power, we can make a right use of our knowledge. We will never do that. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit. And what a great matter it is when there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as has happened often enough throughout history, from Pentecost onward. The Holy Spirit poured out. And the Holy Spirit, therefore, applying the truth to multitudes of sinners. What a great and altogether remarkable matter it was. What happened on the cross beside the Savior when one might imagine that the thief that was to be saved, he had some knowledge, but he certainly hadn't been using it aright. But in infinite mercy, the man was drawn to Christ. He began to pray. He asked, Lord, remember me when thou camest into thy kingdom. He began to acknowledge that he was a sinner. We indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. This man was perfect. And he came to the perfect man. He came, spiritually speaking, to the God-man. He looked to Christ. He received the knowledge. And the Savior said to him, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he believed that. He trusted in Christ because the Holy Spirit was working in him. The other thief rejected the knowledge. The other thief rejected the knowledge. But this one thief, he received that spiritual knowledge that the Savior set before him and gave the Holy Spirit to apply the truth powerfully. Yes. That's what we need. There may be a powerful accompaniments, or there may be very little in that way. It might be all, there's power, of course, though it would be all within the heart of the sinner. But, you see, the Holy Spirit is working. Whenever a sinner makes use of the knowledge that there is in Scripture, whenever a sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we should be seeking for. Not trusting in ourselves. This is altogether too great a matter. There's a power needed that we cannot prevail. But the one who sits on the throne, the one who came so very low that he might save sinners, he has power. And he gives the Holy Spirit. And we should be asking for that. We should feel reproved. Though that's perhaps drifting on to the other matter just now. But leaving it just now. When we are instructed, we should be asking, may the Lord apply that instruction to my soul so that I might get good. Yes. May the Lord be applying that instruction to my soul. May the Lord be applying it powerfully. May I not be left to myself. Then I'll be in danger. Then I'll be in a bad way. Yes. And when in particular the Lord applies these words with power, as that happened in the jail in Philippi, when the jailer had been asking, what must I do to be saved? And God's messengers, Paul and Silas, said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What happened? There was power. There was the power of the Holy Spirit. There was Christ's teach. And the man believed there and then. One assumes. And before long, the whole household of the jailer believed. You see, how great a work the Lord is able to carry out. We should be asking for ourselves. We should not be faithless. We should be believing. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save our souls. Able. Able to save to the uttermost. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. What's the point of that just now? Living to make intercession. That's this. That the Lord is preserved. The Lord Jesus is preserving the, is presenting the merits of his finished work before the throne of the Father. Let us remember that. And that encourages to call on, that he would present its merits in relation to our need. See, the Lord is here. And we should be praying for ourselves and then praying for others, that the whole earth would be filled with God's glory. We're to have no holding back, as it were. Are we tempted to say, there's no hope of salvation for the multitudes? Everybody's going in the wrong direction. There's no hope. People are just going to go on in that way. Ah well, let us not be mistrustful. We don't know what the future is to bring, or at least the immediate future, which is what I particularly mean. But, you see, we should have a very strong grip of what the Lord is able to do. Whether it's in our own immediate circle or altogether away from our circle. Geographically, or as far as family is concerned, or whatever. There's no limit for what the Lord is able to do. Oh, that we would get grace to pray to the one who has infinite power, who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God through him. Now, I should have moved on before now. But the third point is the refusal of instruction is a case of despising one's own soul. He that refuses instruction despiseth his own soul. Refusing instruction or refusing reproof, it comes to the same thing, but seeing it's that way it's put, let us focus on this. Refusing instruction. Instruction about Christ, that he came into the world to save sinners. And I'm a sinner. So he's the one I need. He's exactly the one I need. Stretch out your hand, the hand of your soul, to receive Christ. as the one whom exactly you need. You couldn't tweak anything in the plan of salvation to make Christ more suitable. That's an impossibility. Christ cannot be made more suitable as a Savior. He is absolutely suitable. Oh, let us go to him. I attempted to hold back because Christ, as you assume, is not as suitable as he might be to you. To you in particular. He might be very, very suitable to others. But yourself, Christ is absolutely suitable. He is suitable to every kind of sinner. We all need Christ. We all need the salvation that has been provided in Christ. Yes. If Christ was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, it's still the same. And a stumbling block to those who were brought up in Christian homes and under the gospel. A stumbling block, one to trip over. And that's not the fault of the stumbling block. It's the fault of the one who trips. Ah, may we be asking the Lord when he is instructing us that we wouldn't be despising our own soul. We're saying, I'll go on and sin. Is that it? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the eyes to sleep, and that's put there as a warning. That's put there by way of instruction. Yes. But are we despising it? Are we saying, I'll pay attention at some later stage? See, she would have said it many a time before. We cannot promise ourselves another moment of time. We haven't got time. We cannot afford the time to despise instruction. It's now. And we've been down this road even earlier in this sermon. The necessity of being urgent about our souls. But you see, if we're despising instruction, we're despising our souls. If we're rejecting instruction, we're despising our souls. We're saying, my soul isn't really worth any effort. My soul isn't worth any effort. Don't say that. Your soul is precious. That's what the Bible tells us. The redemption of the soul is precious. It's worth a lot. Or again, what you have in Luke 15, when we are told that there is joy in the presence of the angels for one sinner that repenteth. They're taken up with it, and the people of God in this world rejoice if they hear so-and-so has been converted. We don't hear that perhaps today, but if there were a number of people converted at some particular service and on some particular Sabbath, would there not be gladness among those who had already believed in Christ? Would there not be great gladness? And it gives glory to God. There's a despising of God as well as a despising of our own soul. How urgent we should be about these things. When there is a salvation set before us, and a salvation that is truly effective, none perish that trust in Christ. That's it. No one will perish. Yes. Oh, how Emphatically, it is said before us in chapter 1, the end of chapter 1, in this book. They despised all my reproof, the Lord is saying. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways. Therefore they will have the consequences of their sin, of their unbelief, of their despising of the gospel. Oh, sinner, do not despise the gospel. Do not reject it. Do not reject Christ. Christ is coming to you at this moment. And he is saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There's no other Savior. But Christ is a Savior. Christ is a totally effective Savior. He does save. He saves to the uttermost. Come then, sinner. Look to Christ. Trust in him. There's a perfect salvation in him. And we are assured that none will perish that trust in Christ. We'll leave it there just now. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us. Take us each one unto thine own loving care. May we feel the power of thy word. May we feel the power of the Spirit, applying the truth to our souls. Do not leave us to ourselves, but grant to be gathering sinners into Christ, and that thou wouldst be glorified. Have mercy. Have mercy. Make us willing to have Christ. Make us long to have Christ. May we stretch out the arms of our souls to Christ. And may we grasp him by faith. Remember us, Lord, in thy great, great mercy, now and always. And wash away our sin. Be our God and guide forever. And make us thankful to thee for all thy goodness. Pardon us and bless us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.